The following is presented as an entertainment program emphasizing folklore. It is not intended as legal or medical advice in any way and should not be used to replace the advice of legal or medical professionals. Hello and welcome to the New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook episode for January of 2024. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. We highly recommend that you also pick up a reliable almanac for folk magic, such as Benabel Wen's Metaphysician's Day Planner, The Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn's Witch's Datebook, or your local farmer's almanac.
Let's take a look at the moon for January 2024. The new moon will be on the 11th of January in Capricorn, while the full moon will be on the 25th of January in Leo. The full moon is commonly called the wolf moon or the ice moon. The Potawatomi knew it as the bear moon, the Tlingit call it the goose moon, and the Cherokee know it as the cold moon. We start with a New Year's Day, Western at least, and a moon waning in Virgo. It's a good time to review your list of priorities from the previous year and eliminate those you've accomplished or those you no longer feel connected to. This is also a time to do basic spells to protect your body and your health, or the health of your garden and pets. Try preparing some extra nourishing food using a little kitchen magic, or put up strands of garlic around your home to ward off illness, according to Italian folk traditions. By January 3rd, the moon is transitioning to Libra, and it can be a time to take stock of relationships and friendships. Figure out which ones need tending to, which ones are healthy enough on their own. It's also a good time to harvest ingredients for love spells from your garden or forage from the wild, or your local supermarket, junk shop, or thrift store. January 5th and 6th mark Twelfth Night and Epiphany, and can be magical nights for leaving out offerings to wandering spirits, as well as conducting divinations about the coming year. The 5th through the 7th see the moon waning in Scorpio, so your sexual energy may be waning a bit too, or it may flare up depending on how much you need to release in this section of the calendar. It can also be a time to tear down old garden structures or other established patterns in your life so you can replace them with new ones. The moon then shifts into Sagittarius and Capricorn from the 8th to the 11th, which also aligns with the signs you'll find Mercury, Mars, and Venus in as we get to the new moon. This is a time to work on physical and material goals, finances, exercises or sports, and the daily grind of your career. Setting clear goals here will allow you to build on the turn to the waxing moon and gain some momentum over the next few weeks. From the 12th to the 15th, the moon is in Aquarius and Pisces, which is a time for ideas and imagination. Spend some time with or making art, putting together vision boards for home slash garden slash life, if you're into that sort of thing, or trying to bring beauty into your life with things like flowers and lights around the home. The 15th is also Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and a good day to reflect on how you participate in equity in your own community, or read some of Dr. King's works. The 16th through the 19th will place the waxing moon in Aries and Taurus, which means there is a lot of momentum to break through barriers. Road opening spells are well suited to this section of the calendar. The 20th through the 22nd, the moon will be waxing in Gemini, which means a lot of social energy and a desire to share your ideas with the world. Write letters, go to parties, or spend time out with friends, or just give your pet some extra attention if you need to use this energy up in a more introvert-friendly way. The 23rd and 24th, the moon will be in Cancer, which might find you needing to close off briefly to recharge your social or personal batteries, but you can also use this as time to do some restorative work on your body, spirit, and garden. Read comforting books and poems, make some hot tea, and enrich the soil if you live where it's possible to do so in January. The 25th will be the full moon in Leo, and this is a time to take charge of plans and get credit for them. Let people know what you want, and don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Also add a bit of glitz or glam to your life. Refresh that vase of flowers from earlier in the month with a big, bold arrangement, or wear something from your closet you consider special occasion to the grocery store. The 25th is also Burns Night, named after the Scottish poet Robert Burns, so gather with some friends, have a drink, tea or something stronger as you prefer, and read some good, loud poetry together. The moon is back in Virgo and waning again from the 27th to the 29th, and we finish the month with a waning moon in Libra. Both again good times for releasing the things you've not got the time for anymore, including any of those New Year's resolutions that are clearly destined for the dustbin.
Now we'll take a look at cards, divination, and proverbs for the month. Each month, Lane and I will pull a card for each other, one playing card and one tarot or oracle card, willing to get the meanings of those cards in general and then read them for the other person specifically as a way to get a sense of how they're read in actual practice.
For this month's card, as I shuffled my deck, I focused on a different sort of question. So much of Corey's last year was upheaval and change. Also, so many of January's themes can focus around change, changing of the year, resolutions, and trying to change yourself for the better. So instead, I asked, what should Corey focus on keeping the same right now? What brings some balance by remaining unchanged? And I laughed when I pulled the Two of Clubs. The quick reference for this card is a handshake or business partnership, and I can't help but think of myself. Of course, Corey and I are more than a business partnership. He's an amazing friend. But behind the scenes, podcast work is work, and we have to team up to do it. I like to think that the cards are telling him, well, you know, us, really, to keep up the good work. However, if I want to not be completely self-absorbed, I guess, in my friend's card reading, I could also see this as a card telling Corey to focus on his writing. I know he has more books he wants to write, and the Two of Clubs could mean a good relationship with his agent, publisher, or maybe even a writer friend.
For Lane this month, I focused on the idea of action and best outcomes. How can she set herself up for success this month, and what actions will she need to take to get there? Admittedly, that's a tall order for a single card, but I pulled the Ace of Matches in Madame Clara's 5-cent tarot, a card that corresponds to the Ace of Clubs or Wands in traditional tarot. This is a card all about potential energy and starting something new. It emphasizes taking something in hand and making an effort to move forward. In traditional tarot, a hand reaches out of a cloud from right to left on the card and grips a long wand firmly, ready to act. However, this orientation also means looking backward to learn from the past. So it's worth remembering that this is not blindly acting impulsively and recklessly, but instead taking stock of the journey to this point, and then very clearly making a move that will launch the next phase of that journey. So this month, and this year, seems to be inviting Lane to build on what she's accomplished and begin something big, bold, and new for herself. And she's always welcome to ask for a hand to help her, whether it comes from the clouds, family, or a good friend. Our folk divination method of the month, less of a divination than more of a system, we'll say. It is the Zodiac Man. Each month when we present our folk magician's notebook, we also break down the lunar influences as they progress through the signs of the Zodiac. For many people in late antiquity through the early Renaissance, these lunar influences were thought to have a direct connection to the human body, with each sign and corresponding planet linked to a particular body part or region of the human anatomy. Thus, when a sign like Gemini, ruled by Mercury, is connected with a waxing moon, it would impact the body part also connected with that sign and planet, in this case, usually the hands or the arms. The relationships between moon and body also get mapped onto agriculture, with a sign like Pisces, which rules the feet, also ruling plants that grow the lowest. In that example, root crops, like potatoes, would be ruled by Piscean energy, and so a person would want to harvest potatoes when the moon was waning or new in Pisces, or plant them when the moon was waxing in Pisces. It's not easy to translate this concept into oral literature like a podcast, so we highly recommend you search out an image of the Zodiac Man in an almanac. Most almanacs will have the image somewhere near their weather or agricultural forecast section, with an explanation of how this all works. However, today we're going to share a few bits of lore that have to do with divination, or at least planning one's activities, according to these lunar signs in the Zodiac Man map. Also, don't ask us why it's always a man. We blame several millennia of sexism personally. And in Corey's book, New World Witchery, he has a version of this map that he did with a non-binary sexed body, and we'll try to include that image in our show notes and or transcript too. On to the lore. Aries rules the head, good for weeding and planting root vegetables, bad for weaning, dental work, and surgery. Taurus rules the neck, good for planting and canning. Sore throats are more serious during this sign, and be careful shaving. Gemini rules the hands and arms, good for planting beans and cucumbers, also great for growing flowers, but watch out for clumsiness. Cancer rules the chest or breast, good for root and cold weather crops, bad for heart or lung surgery. Leo rules the back and heart, plant nothing but do pest control and pruning or mowing. Cuts will bleed more profusely in this sign. Virgo rules the belly. Great for getting lots of flowers to grow, bad for setting hens, and stomach upsets might be on the horizon. Libra rules the hips and kidneys. You'll get bigger cabbages and tomatoes planting in the sign, but it's not great for medical treatment and surgery. Watch out where you sit. Scorpio rules the genitals. Good for transplanting and setting fruit trees. Good for weaning. But let's just say use protection as well. Sagittarius rules the thighs. Good for tilling, cultivating, and canning. Also good for dental work and weaning. Capricorn rules the knees. Good for root crops and vines. Excellent for surgery, except knee surgery. Aquarius rules the legs. This is a good sign for onions. Lots of other plants, though, will rot if planted in this sign. Beware of flooding. Pisces rules the feet. Great for weeding and planting bushy plants. Excellent for beans and peas. Bad for making sauerkraut. There's much more to be gleaned by looking into this phenomenon, so we invite you to look for more information on our website, where we have posts on the Zodiac Man and planting by the signs as well.
The Witch's Proverb of the Month. Find out who you are and do it on purpose. Dolly Parton. And if you're wondering, I did read that without an accent, but it just didn't have the same ring to it, so here we are.
Our folktale this month is a poem by Robert Burns, entitled Address to the Devil. O prince, O chief of many throned powers that led the embattled seraphim to war. An opening quote from Milton's Paradise Lost. O thou, whatever title suit thee, old Hornine, Satan, Nick, or Clouty, when yon cavern grim and sooty closed under the hatches, spurges around the Brunstein cooties to scold poor wretches. Hear me, old Angie, for a wee, and let poor damned bodies be. I'm sure small pleasure can gie into a devil to scalp and scold poor dogs like me and hear squeal. Great is thy power and great thy fame, far ken denoted is thy name. And though yon lowen hues thy name, thou travels far. And faith, thou's neither lag nor lame, nor blight nor scour. Whiles ranging like a roaring lion, for prey a holes and corners trying, whiles on the strong-winged temples flying, tirling the kirks, whiles in the human bosom prying unseen thou lurks. I've heard my reverend granny say, and manly glens ye like to stray, or where old ruined castles grey nod to the moon, ye fright the nightly wanderers way with Eldred's croon. When twilight did my granny son to say your prayers, thou honest woman, after yont the day she heard ye bumming with ye eerie drone, or rustling through the boar trees coming with heavy groan. Aye, dreary windy winter night, the stars shot down with sclinting light. With you myself I got a fright of yont the loo. Ye like a rash bush stood in sight with waving sue. The cudgel in my nave did shake, each bristled hair stood like a stake, when with an eldritch stour, quack, quack, among the springs, away ye squattered like a drake on whistling wings. Let warlocks grim and withered hags tell how with you on ragweed nags they skim the moors and dizzy crags with wicked speed, and in kirkyards renew their leagues, or how could deed. Thence contra wise with toil and pain may plunge and plunge and care in the vain, for all the yellow treasures ta'en by witching skill, and out at 12-pint hockey's game, yells the bill. Thence mystic knots make great abuse on young goodmen, fond, keen, and crute, when the best work loom in the house, by contrapt wit, in instant, made no worth a louse just at the bit. When thou'st dissolved the snowy hoard, and float the jingling icy board, then water kelpies haunt the ford by your direction, and nighted travellers are lured to their destruction. And after most traversing spunkies decoy the weight that late and drunk is, the blazing cursed mischievous monkeys delude his eyes, till in some miry slough he sunk is, ne'er more to rise. When mason's mystic word and grip in storms and tempests raise you up, some cock or cat your rage mun stop, or strange to tell, the youngest brother ye would whip off straight to hell. Long syne in Eden's bonny yard, when youthful lovers first repaired, and all the soul of love they shared, the raptured hour, sweet on the fragrant flowery sward and shady bower. Then you, ye old snick-drawing dog, ye came to paradise and cog, and played on man a cursed brogue, black beer faith, and give the infant world a shog must ruin a day. Do you mind that day when in a biz, with reeky studs and reese to skis, you did present your smoty face among better folk, and sclanted on the man of whose your spiteful joke? And how you got him in your thrall, and break him out house and hall with scabs and blotches did him gall, with bitter claw, and loused his eel-tongued wicked skull with worst of ach. But are your doings to rehearse, your wily snares and fechting fierce, sin that day Michael did you pierce, down to this time, what ding-a-lallin tongue erse in prose or rhyme? And now, old Clutes, I ken ye're thinking, a certain bard is ranting, drinking. Some luckless hour will send him linking to your black pit. But faith, he'll turn a corner, jinking, and cheat you yet. But fare ye well, old Nicky Ben. Oh, would ye take a thought in mane? Ye ablins might, I dinna ken. Still, ha stake. I'm ware to think upon you then, even for your sake. We share this poem in honor of Burns Night, and with apologies to Robbie Burns and all Scottish people for my pronunciation, I'm sure. Burns Night falls on January 25th, and Burns grew up in a fairly strict religious household under the glowering eye of his father in Scotland, a land which had experienced tremendous upheavals in its political national identity prior to Burns' birth in 1759. Burns spent much of his life as a farmer, but wrote poetry constantly on the side, and is considered by many to be the national poet of Scotland. He wrote in the Scots dialect, preserving linguistic culture and addressing themes of folkloric and human interest to the Scottish people in his poems about familiar places, as in Afton Water, or in traditional folk rituals as the ringing in of the New Year at Hogmanay in his famous Auld Lang Syne, which many people still sing as the old year ends. He also wrote poems about love and lust, such as How Can I Keep My Maidenhead, which is fitting since at his birth it's said a midwife predicted he'd grow to have many lovers, and that he did. But he remained beloved by those who knew him, up until his death in 1796. In his short but productive life, he left a lasting impact on language and culture that has extended far beyond Scotland. He also wrote poems about folk characters like Tam O'Shanter, or as in the case of our folktale for this month, the Devil. He shares a number of nicknames, Old Horny, Satan, Nick, or Cluty, for example, and seems to talk to the devil as someone who is not afraid of him. Instead, Burns' narrator has Old Scratch's number and knows that no matter what happens in the end, the folktales always say that we can outwit him and get the upper hand. Yet Burns does recognize that Old Horny has his domain and doesn't deny the potentially fearful acts he can undertake, especially cavorting with warlocks and witches. Shoutouts to our listeners. In the end, though, this poem illustrates both Burns' ability to turn a phrase or two and to give us a sense of folklore and our collective understanding of this particular character. The devil of folklore isn't there to swallow souls and lead armies against heaven, but to engage in a battle of wits. And when you're as clever as a poet, that usually means old Clootie's on the losing side of the battle. So take this month's tale as an invitation to open up your own conversations with the things that go bump in the night and the spirits around you. You may find yourself writing a verse or two of inspired folk lyrics and getting a better grip on just what those spirits mean to you. We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time around, we're talking about three coins on the window. This tradition is one that we find a few variations of in different places, but here we'll be doing a little charm based on the practices of the Aglova heathen community in Pennsylvania, German country, with thanks and a nod to Robert Shriver for sharing this. The tradition goes that on Twelfth Night, three coins should be left outside on the windowsill. These coins will sit all the year long, ready to be taken by anyone passing by who might need them. At the end of the year, if any remain, they should be replaced by new coins, and the old coins should be donated to help the poor or to a charitable cause of your choice. This can be coins as simple as pennies or as fancy as silver dollars, but the goal is to mark your home as a place of charity and welcome, and to pass along the blessings of that goodwill to others as the coins change hands. A sort of pay-it-forward blessing. So this year, put out some coins on your windowsill and say a little blessing. When you see them, think about donating a bit to your local shelter or charitable group, and use them to inspire you to greater acts of kindness and welcome. And the next year, start all over again. The world might just be a little brighter of a place by then because of you. That is it for this year's, this month's entry into the new World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook. We have started a new year, 2024, and we are so glad that you are along on the journey with us. We appreciate you sticking with us, and we hope you're having a good time learning a little bit about folklore and folk magic through our monthly installments of this series. If you would like to reach out and contact us, you can do so by going to newworldwitchery.com/find-us, where you can find all sorts of ways to contact us via social media, email, all kinds of ways. Always check out that website as well, newworldwitchery.com, where you can find hundreds of articles on folk magic from North America in general, as well as all of our old episodes too. If you'd like to help us out, support the show, we certainly would appreciate that. We definitely depend on your kindness and generosity to keep things going and to be able to provide some of the stuff that we can do. So please do consider stopping by patreon.com/newworldwitchery, where you can throw a dollar a month or whatever you can afford our way and get some fun perks along the way too. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we really, really appreciate you being a part of New World Witchery and part of the Folk Magician's Notebook as well. We'll be seeing you again in February for another Folk Magician's Notebook, and hopefully throughout the rest of the year. And we look forward to that and look forward to more time with you. For now, thanks for listening. Be well.